हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, so now this Chaitanya-upanayana, of course, this is Nyaya Sutras. You know, so this is about the system delineated by Gautama Rishi, you know, on what is logical thought. So it means you have so many technical points of the logical thought, but there's principles of it. So generally speaking, when most people approach it, they go by the technical points, and that's why it'll be one of those very dry subjects. But it's actually that there's principles that are at work. And so then in this study, those principles will start to come out. Then you start to see that it's actually a very simple, straightforward system. And when you understand it, you know, that simple, then you understand that most people are using it, though they really think they are. Yes?
What is nava mean?
Nava means new.
So after Gautama Rishi and the followers, they want to, in their anxiety to prove that Gautama gave the whole philosophy, then it became a philosophy instead of just establishing the epistemology, then they start speculating about the sadhana and sadhya, means the prayojana. Then they get into different conclusions. So Navanyaya started little earlier than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's time, where they gave different conclusions than the previous followers. So it's just modification on which is already speculated. But the basic core structure which Gautama gives remains the same in both.
So the 16 padarthas and how they're used is the same.
16 padarthas, but Maharaj, within that the first one is praman, second one is prameya. All the philosophy is discussing about the prameyas mostly. So there they speculate, like everybody has their own speculation.
Okay, but I'm just saying how you would run the argument through the...
Gautama is the original, like nobody messes up with him. It's only the later guys and many people who wrote
the editions.
Yeah, the way they try to see is, as will come out, is that the thing about Nyaya, because it'll get into details about everything and explain everything. And so, but the problem is it doesn't explain what to do with it or what it's for. That's the thing. So people who know logic think that they know everything and they know, you know, how everything works and that, but it doesn't teach you what's actually the goal of it or what's the actual proper usage of it. You know, in other words, means that I'm going to apply the points of logic that it shows, but it doesn't show how it's going to affect your life. What's the sadhana of a person who practices that? It doesn't say that. Because it's just you have a logical system. So it gives you no sadhana and no sadhya. So it's, you know, no goal. So that's the thing that he's saying, others are trying to bring it in, so it's its own philosophy. Because they'll be following Gautama Sutras, they won't like it that they don't have a process or a goal. So they want to show, no, we also have a process and goal. Right? And so then, like that, then they make up something. But it doesn't have, like we see in the Jiva Dharma, that'll come up, it's explained in there. And we're talking about Nyaya Panchanan. Yeah, I mean, he's like the...
Vajra.
Huh?
Rajanas.
Becomes Rajanas, yeah. He's, you know, at the time of the young group, the greatest Nyaya, you know, scholar in Navadvipa, and no one can defeat him. But then when he starts talking to the Babaji Maharaj, then he starts figuring out that it doesn't actually tell you what to do with your life. So through the study of Nyaya, you can't understand what to do with your life. Because you're only looking at what is working, is it say this, this is says that, that one says this, this is a good thing to say, this is a wrong thing to say. It doesn't tell you actually how do you understand what should be done. It's not part of the system. It's just like how to drive your car. They never teach you what is your character, you know, how you should dress or how you should behave with people and where you're going. They just show you the mechanics of driving the car. So Gautama is only shown the mechanics. That's why it's the first one, because everyone's going to use it. Then you have to get somewhere with it. Does that make sense? So I also think you get the idea also that except for Kapila's Shankya, even up to there, there's no sadhana. Mm. Only with yoga, then you start seeing a sadhana. And with Jaimini, then you start seeing a sadhana.
Which means all words of Gautama and Vasishika, they don't follow in sadhana?
They probably, they'll follow the Vedic things.
Just the tradition.
Yeah, they'll follow the tradition and all that, and rabbinical stuff and all. But Nyaya itself doesn't show it. And through Nyaya, you can't understand it. It's just like, yeah, they're just tools. That's the whole point. They're just tools. So that's what he can. Because the thing is his sadhana is to analyze this all nicely so he's the best. His goal is to feed everybody. But Nyaya Shastra doesn't tell you that. It doesn't say you have to be the best argumentator and defeat everybody. It doesn't tell you that. It just shows you what's there. Does that make sense?
Do we know who's the authority on the Western logic, like accepted by everybody?
I don't have much idea on
Western. Are you sure those terms?
Well, I guess.
Aristotle, okay. Yeah, because he'll be the material. Is that what's that? You see in the, there's a famous painting. I mean, they don't kind of count Socrates. You have Plato and Aristotle walking together. Right. They were disciples and like that. So Plato is like this, and Aristotle is like this. Mm-hmm. So he's pointing out, no, it's supposed to be love like this, so then naturally he would be the. Because logic they don't kill you for. If you talk philosophy like Socrates, then you know. See.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They come with the machine gun.
Yes. So, you know, just a little general. Okay. So, front page. Because there is so much word jugglery in logic, one can never come to the real conclusion about the absolute truth by argument. The followers of the Vedic principles understand this. However, it is seen here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Buddhist philosophy by argument. Those who are preachers in ISKCON will certainly meet many people who believe in intellectual arguments. Most of these people do not believe in the authority of the Vedas. Nevertheless, they accept intellectual speculation and argument. Therefore, the preachers of Krishna consciousness should be prepared to defeat others by argument, just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 949-4. Introduction. Yajnavalkya counts Nyaya, or logic, amongst the 14 principal sciences. Puranam Nyaya Mimamsa Dharma Shastras. Oh no, this isn't a shloka, is it? It's in English. I was starting off like this shloka, then I started out, wait a minute. This is Puranam Nyaya Mimamsa Dharma Shastras Vedanga 6 and the Vedas 4 in number. These 14 are the roots of knowledge and religion. Yajnavalkya Smriti 113.
Yajnavalkya and Manusamhita, they're considered both.
Yes, for us means Manu is the primary. Because he's dealing with all ages. So whatever Manu says is always valuable. So then, but Yajnavalkya and Parasara, those are the next two important ones for us that Prabhupada mentions. Because I think there's 20 main ones, and then there's more, there's something like 40, but like that. So some will say there's 10, some will say there's 20, some will say there's 40. So it just goes farther and farther. But they're specifically on application in Kali Yuga. Yes. He's just quoting from here, from the Dharma Shastra, to establish the 14 principal sciences, right? Because Dharma Shastra is going to establish what human beings should study. What human beings should, you know, how their life should go and all that. So it has to be based on something. So that's based on the 14 books, right? So then you have the Paravidya, you know, and then you have the Aparavidya. So this is one of the Aparavidyas, right? Like that. So it's considered, you would generally in classification, it's the 14th. If you start with the four Vedas, then the six Vedangas, then Mimamsa, then there'll be Purana, then Dharma Shastras, and last Nyaya. But what we're going to be studying is this combination of Nyaya with Paravidya, with philosophy. So that is, we'll see as it comes up, that's called Anvikshiti, when the two are combined.
Why Mimamsa is before Purana? First Purana, then Mimamsa should come in.
No, because Mimamsa has the philosophy in it. It has the Paravidya.
Okay.
But within that, Mimamsa means for us, that's the Paravidya. It also has deals with all the others, which are technically not. So it's only Vedanta is actually Paravidya. So Mimamsa, in that way, everybody accepts Mimamsa. One of the, and that's the, Mimamsa means the six schools of philosophy. So Vedanta is actually Paravidya. The other five aren't.
You said Vedas, then Vedanga?
Four Vedas, yes.
Then
the six Vedangas. Then Mimamsa. Dharmashastra. No, Mimamsa, Purana. Dharma Shastras, Shastras, Jnana. Because it's going in down what is... Because you're following the Mimamsa, or the philosophy, right? That will then be seen how it's in the Puranas. The laws for that are in the Dharma Shastras. How to analyze that and understand it, that's the Jnana.
And Anvikshiki, you mentioned?
Anvikshiki is the combination of Jnana with Paravidya. That I know of, at least he addresses it. It doesn't mean that it's written, it doesn't address the others, because see, as so many of the things that we'll use in Kali Yuga are used in all four ages. You know, like Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they're all the ages, you know, that a Brahmin, you know, the most important thing is japa, you know, and these kind of things. Those are all going to be eternal principles. But there'll be certain ones, let's say, for example, Manu, he will mention about, let's say, on marriage. And then in marriage, then, you know, the couple's been married, but if the boy dies before there's a child, then it just mentions they could get remarried, but generally they wouldn't worry about it, right? Yajnavalkya or Parasara will expand that point. So in other words, points that need to be expanded because of Kali Yuga, those are brought out. Ones that don't, they just stay the same. You know, in other words, let's say... Yeah, because that would go and stuff like that. But also, you see in Manu, it mentions it's weird. Manu already mentions it's strange. You know, because it was established during the time of Maharaj Veda. So it's authorized, but in Kali Yuga you don't use it. But it's already said it's weird. You know? So therefore no one's contradicting Manu by that. So it'll just point out the specific application in Kali Yuga. So you'll see so much it'll all be in support of Manu. But it just means areas that Manu didn't give so much detail on that will be necessary in Kali Yuga, they wrote on. So Manu is considered the Samhita, that all others have to be seen in line with mine. Does that make sense? You know, so it's not that, oh, we won't take this, we take this, we take... No, Prabhupada's always quoting mine. And sometimes he'll quote the others. No, no, it didn't mean he didn't write it in Kali Yuga. It means it's written before. But because it's one of the, you know, it's one of the literatures that are always, you know, there as part of the Vedic literature. So the point is it would always be followed. It's just the detail. Just like, let us say, if you go back when I came to India in the 70s, there were no divorces. So you don't have to write anything on that. Does that make sense? So therefore, those things that are there from before, you don't have to, but when you start getting into more detail, then, you know, then that you have to have some detail on, you know. I mean, does it have to be an American $100 bill to snort your cocaine, or can you use anything else? Can you just use a straw from McDonald's, because, you know, it's only 800 meters away? You know? Do you use the whole thing? You know, can you use the bendy ones, you know, because then you can really, you know, move it up? Or do you have to cut a bit off and use it, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's what... Yeah.
Some example, don't work
with it. It's always the fun. So. Yeah. I mean, the most fun is in Hungary. You give examples like this, and they're all just nodding their head, but have absolutely no idea. So that's the meaning of drishtanta. You have to use the example that someone understands you. So, no, the point is Varsha is the whole planet. So everybody at some point was following Vedic culture. But as you go in time, then you see, let's say, in the last, you know, few thousand years, you only see it really nice, very similar to India within Asia. You know? Like that. Is Middle East considered Asia?
No.
No, Europe.
You sure?
No, Middle East is in its own position. It's in between.
But as a continent, it would be Asia.
It's in Asia.
Yeah, as a continent, it's Asia. Yeah. As a culture, not necessarily. It's in between. It's between Asia and Europe.
But it's also different countries.
But it's still
partially in Africa. Middle East partially is in Africa.
Well, up to the
Nile?
Red Sea.
Red Sea
is the demarcation.
Oh yeah.
You know. So the Red Sea, because that's where the Suez Canal is.
So
going through there, that would be the demarcation. So anything the other side, but then you have the Northern Africa is Arab.
Yeah.
Like that. And then that, but it's still Africa.
Yeah.
As a continent. I'm just saying, not in the sense of culture, but as a continent. Because I think it's Turkey is kind of where the end is. Yeah. You know, someone ended at Greece and someone ended at Turkey. It's kind of like that. In other words, the Polynesians are as close as you know. Because even in Asia, in Europe, you have, you know, East Europe, you know, Middle Europe. What we would call the East Bloc, you know, that was actually Middle Europe. Europe. And then the other parts, I think, like, you know, I mean, that part of Russia, you know, the side of Urals and I'm not sure if Georgia and all those places, those are considered Europe. You know, but they would be Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And then Poland and all those places, that's Middle Europe. Yeah. And then Germany and France, and those are all Western Europe. So, yeah, culturally. But so, the whole world would have been following, but it seems that probably some of the first to drop off were the Americas. Because you see, it would be harder to find, unless you go way back to, you know, Incans and Mayans and Aztecs, then they have some little aspects that are a little similar, but not so much. But when you come over to Europe and Africa, it'll be quite much more similar. So basically, you could say pre-Abrahamic, that everybody, the whole planet, basically is all similar culture, just a little bit more developed or a little less developed. Then, when you bring in Judaism, then they would go into the monotheistic, but the rest of the world wasn't necessarily taking it up. You know, they still had a tendency to be more of the, you know, worship of the demigods, the pagans, right? So, but because of the nature of it, they didn't worry about those who weren't Jewish. They didn't try to change their culture, because why would you, you know, there was no necessity within their practice, you know, like that. But then with the Christians and then with the Muslims, they would tend to see that people should follow what they're doing. So at that time, you would see as the, how do you say, at least the Eastern Christians would retain much more of the you know, Asian culture, the more older culture. But the Western Christians, they lost it, like that. And then the Muslims also would extend a little bit more towards the Vedic, though they'll make the adjustments to remove all the demigods and that, like the Christians did. You know what I'm saying? The Jews just had their own. They didn't care what anybody else was doing.
Still
don't. Yes, still don't. Still has, still don't. You know, so does that make sense? So it has that element. We're lacking any Christian representation here.
Huh?
Oh, okay, soon, yes. True. Yes, and then we'll have East. East and West. Okay, yes, okay, so we'll have all the major lines represented.
So we cannot say we're sectarian.
No, not at all. No one can say. And if they wanted the authority how we're not, then you can ask the professor.
Historians.
Yes, we can tell you exactly who said what. Yes, so therefore, don't look at it that it's something different. What I'm saying here is that it goes back. So everybody used to follow it. How long back they connect to the Vedas, that's another thing. You know, it's just like, you see, the concept of marriage, that's from the Vedic system, but everybody follows it. Even today, no one knows why, but they follow it. Because it's an eternal principle. Like, you see, even the animals, they get married, you know. But it's just how much time they stay together. You know, some stay together their whole life, some don't. Like that. So, that therefore, you can also see the species of life that people are directing, going towards, you know, that in the human form, you know, which next life, which animal will be. Should we turn the fans down a little bit? We can turn them down to one. They're on two now.
We like fans and beam power.
Okay. Like I remember somebody was telling me is you have the AC on 18 and then you have one of those thick duvets covering you when you sleep.
Yeah, that's the system.
You have the air when you breathe it is cold, but everything else is warm. No. Snorkel, right?
We had when we used to travel on something, and I had a companion. I was traveling with a girl. She was Israeli, and she blew my mind. We used to go even camping. So inside the camp, you know, electricity is everywhere, even inside the woods, because there are no woods there. So she would bring the fan inside and sleep in the sleeping bag inside with the fan. I never saw such a thing. I said, why would you do that? It's really cold at night. She said, no, but you cover yourself. And then
there you go. Because fresh. Yeah, but it's one of the tastes.
I didn't know it's very fun.
Yeah, no, it seems to be. Okay, so is that we're clear on that? So in other words, everybody be following. It's just how long back before, like you're saying, in Asia they may be following it. So, but they don't know where it came from. You know? And when you have the great preachers coming, you know, like that, like Christ or Muhammad, like this, when they're preaching, they're going to be talking about the Vedic principles. But the locals that they're talking to are not necessarily from that culture, so they'll give them the you know, major points of it, but not necessarily the details. Because many times you just fit in, you know, it's just like whatever was Middle Eastern culture there, and where is that? Right? Is that how you say it? You know, where the Euphrates and the other one come together? There's a place there. Yeah, it's the crescent, whatever. There's a circle like that, and down at the bottom's That's where Abraham is from.
Yeah, I don't know how to spell.
Okay. We're coming to yours. You are.
No. The whole life used to play around, so I could relate. There is you are, your God.
No? Okay. So. No.
Ur.
Huh?
Yeah,
Ur
in English, Ur in Russian, probably.
Okay.
Add something else.
Okay. Okay. So from there, so that would have been where the Sumerians and all were. So probably a lot of how they dealt in their culture and, you know, their ornamentation and dress and all that, and, you know, which would go with the environment that's there, then that became the culture. Does that make sense? But the principles of it were, you know, you dressed properly, you covered yourself, you covered it, you know, you had to dress in a certain way. Though its particulars would be the local, you know, according to the locale, right? You know, it's hot, so, you know, it's something hot and you don't know what's going on, you take everything off. You know, it's hot and you know what's going on, you completely cover yourself, you know. Does that make sense? So it's like people who go down to the beach when it's hot, they don't know what to do. People who live out on the beach, you know, in other words, if they're on the beach, but the somehow or another the ocean hasn't quite gotten that far, so most people call it desert, you know, then they don't, you know, so then, you know, head to toe. You know what I'm saying? So you do like that. So then, does that make sense? So that will then you'll see some differences. But that's even in India, there's, you know, differences how the Bengalis dress, how the Gujaratis dress, how the South Indians. But it's all from the same principle of dressing like a gentleman, you know, a cultured person. And so then that will be how it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. The four Vedas are comprised of four sections each. Samhitas, hymns, brahmanas, consisting of three divisions, khandhas, karma, rituals, jnana, knowledge, and upasana, prayer and worship. So upasana is within the brahmanas. I never knew that. I only knew about that when the brahmanas was the Griya Sutras and the Dharma Sutras. So those will be the basis of the Dharma Shastras, right? Because everything Smriti always comes from Shruti. So the Shruti of Dharma Shastras will be the Dharma Sutras. And so those will be in the Veda. Because they're mainly talking about the lifestyle of someone who's going to be following the, you know, doing the rituals and all that kind of thing. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Aranyakas, metaphysics, Upanishads, philosophy. Okay. Finally came across something worth looking at. The Upanishads and Aranyakas deal with the soul and its destiny and constitute a very important branch of study referred to by the names Atmavidya, science of the soul. Right? Adhyatmavidya, the spiritual science, and Brahmavidya, the divine science. So it's known by these names, right? The philosophy. Atmavidya, Adhyatmavidya, and Brahmavidya. This transcendental science is the essence and foundation of all other sciences and is also referred to as anvikshiki, or the science of inquiry. right? Because you have the philosophy, but then you have to approach it and inquire and analyze. That's why then the logic comes in. So this is then what we're seeing here. What is the point? Because the opening of any of the subjects of the 14 books has to show its connection back to the transcendence, right? You know, just like in Manu, then we saw that you have the Lord, and then you know he breathes out these universes, then he enters the universe. It's dark, but he goes in, it becomes light. He fills half with water, then like this, and then he starts creating, right? And then he creates Brahma, and then like that, and then four kinds of life come out. You know, it means those from wombs, those from eggs, those from cuttings or seeds, and those from sweat, right? And then of that, then you're going to have all those. Then of that, then important is humans. So of that, the Brahmins are going to protect the Veda or the Dharma Shastra. Then people are there, so Kshatriyas protect them. Cows are there, Vaishyas protect them. Shudras assist the other three, right? And so then you see is that therefore the Varnashram has come out because human life is there for elevating yourself back. So then you see the connection between the Dharma Shastra and Paravidya. So then here's the same thing is the logic, its connection is how to properly inquire and analyze the philosophy. That's its actual purpose. People use it otherwise, but that's why Krishna says in the Gita, of all the 16 branches of logic, he is Siddhanta, or the conclusion. So actually when you discuss, you're supposed to start from conclusion. And then from there, you discuss logically. Right? Because you have a conclusion, you want to analyze that, so you discuss that. Right? So then in discussing that, you have your process to go through. And that's the logical process. But you see as many times in arguments, we'll see we'll come up to, there's one, is it Vitanda? Vitanda is where the guy, whatever you say, he'll argue against it and try to defeat whatever you're saying, but he has no philosophy. He doesn't have a Siddhanta that he's trying to establish. He just wants to defeat yours. You see this so much, like this. So you're saying, yes, so Varnashram should be there. No, we don't need, what about castes and this and that? Just argue. So then what should be established? Well, I don't know, we're just devotees, we don't have any need. So there's nothing. So it's not actually a logical argument. So as we go through, we'll see more of, yes.
Also Siddhanta, there is Siddhanta and Nirnaya. Nirnaya is also coming to conclusion. Siddhanta is established, true doctrine or an established conclusion.
Right.
Where everybody already agrees with it.
Okay.
So there is little difference.
Yeah, but you're trying to get to at least. So in other words, this says, the Shastra says this, we're at this position, how to get to there, how to understand. So it's not that, okay, Shastra say, Prabhupada says, the Acharyas say we should follow Varnashram, that's human life. But at the same time, we see is, we don't know what's going on around us, so how do we put it together? Rather than saying, oh, it can't be followed, just throw it out, then that's not going anywhere. But here's how to analyze how it would apply in your life, what does apply in your life, what doesn't. Does that make sense? So that's what you're trying to do. So like this, then there's so many, that, that's the essential point of the whole thing is you have Siddhanta, how to inquire about that, or how to analyze that, how to present that to others. So that's what Nyaya is, so that's Panvikshika. It means logic that's applied through philosophy. That's the actual purpose of it. Just to argue because you can, then that's not. Like some guy put a rocket engine on his motorbike. And the journalist asked him, why did you do that? He says, because I can. You can also jump off a cliff.
It's interesting also that Acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, they first of all established Siddhanta in the form of Pratigya, but then to make it into Siddhanta, they have to go through all the system And then whatever was presented in the beginning of the book or whatever this essay or whatever it is, then at the end you see exactly the same.
Yes.
So it is already presented in the first place.
Yes,
but then it is established, then it's called Siddhanta. Because in the beginning it's a pratigya.
Yes.
Because nobody accepts it as such.
Yeah. But the pratigya has to be based on Siddhanta.
Yeah, pratigya also is a pramana, the shabda pramana. Our pratigya statement is always in the pramana, the shabda, which is already Siddhanta.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then you're trying to make it practical for them. So that's why then you give your reasoning. Because if I just say it, then you know it'd be blind thought. You give your reasoning, then people can analyze. Then you're going to give your example, your explanation, because your explanation is to bring that near to the people. You know, because then they can use it in their life. Then you're clearing out what you know, kind of summing up what's not useful, and what is useful, and how that connects together. In other words. Especially either how you're going to use it, you know, why that's the direction you want to go, or how what the other guy is opposing with is actually already included in yours. Like we're saying, you know, but no, but we, you know, we have to, you know, be practical and we have to make money and, you know, have jobs and all this and that. But bhakti already includes karma. It already includes knowledge. So what are you talking about? But it's unless you see it in connection. Because here they're saying bhakti is one thing, karma is another. But actually, karma doesn't work without bhakti because bhakti is the original. In other words, this bhakti, when you reflect it here, becomes perverted because you actually remove the actual essence of bhakti. So you can say, like you see, he's devoted to his studies, you know, or devoted to his family, or, you know, devoted to his nation. You know, he sacrificed his life for the nation, like those early, you know, guys in the, you know, whatever it is, 30s and 40s, you know, before the independence. Like that. So it'll be seen as a devotion. But it's not actual devotion, because actual devotion means Krishna. Like kirtan, it means Vishnu. It doesn't mean anybody else. There's no Kali kirtan. They make it up. But the Shastra only talks about Hari kirtan. There is no other kirtan. Yes.
The difficulty with logic seems to be is that it relativizes everything. Because after you've given them, and I've seen it, and I've experienced it, and it's really frustrating. You've established Siddhanta, went through all the points, and then people just go, and then they as if it's just an opinion.
Yes.
So this is the difficulty. Whoever's clever, or you know, their mind works faster than yours, they win, and that's it.
Yes. That's why it's mentioned about you can't use just logic. Mm. Yeah.
Right. Also, the 16 padarthas, the first one is pramana. Without quoting the Veda Shabda Pramana and trying to get back on that, all the discussion without that will be considered like illogical according to Gautama, who is the master of logic. Mm. That's why this one is like very scrutinizingly brings out all. What you're talking about is skepticism, it's not even logic.
It's not there, but get through it there.
So that, so there, then the skepticism, all what it does is removes the bad aspects of karma. Means those who misusing karma, the karma kindness. So by true skepticism, you can keep away from that, but in itself doesn't establish any proper conclusion after that. So that's what everybody who is smart at logic does. That what are you following? If they're not following anyone, then it's like just a vithanda. It's not vada. Vada means you arrive at a proper conclusion after that.
Yeah, vada means it's an actual discussion to end up in conclusion. I think tarka just means to have an argument.
Tarka is different, Maharaj.
Vithanda is. So that makes sense. Yeah. So what's done is that, because generally it's thinking, okay, these are all the things, how I argue. No, it's explaining what actually is an argument and what is not an argument. Because like it said in the beginning, what's like, if you don't know, you know, what's speculation, if you don't know, because the natural thing from karma is because I'm frustrated, I want to remove the bad effects, I take up skepticism. That's also known as mental speculation. You know, you want to be freed from that. So that's why then the mental speculation means you have a thing, you know karma's got a problem. But unless you go across and cross liberation to bhakti, then you're going to get caught up in just being skeptical. So Buddhists are skeptical, Jains are skeptical. How do you say? Specter is skeptical.
As Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, Professor Huxley? Or?
Yeah, something, I don't even know these guys. There's Huxley, he's like that. So they just throw in the doubt. And so they keep you from doing karma. That's how that was, I think there was a story, some Puranic story, that the demigods came. Sukracharya was the demigods, and the demons came to him and saying, "We're always defeated by the demigods. Why?" He says, "Oh, that's because they study the scriptures, they perform sacrifice, and I think austerities. And you guys don't. You just enjoy yourself, so therefore you don't have the power." So he says, "So can you teach us that?" He said, "Yes." You know, so he started teaching them. And then they started becoming more powerful. They defeated the demigods. You know? So then the demigods came to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Okay. Yes, I understand your problem." Says, "Before we discuss it, is there anybody who would like to come to me now?" It means this problem is there. Leave this material thing, just come to me. And then they're all, "No, I think I left the gas on. I got to take my kids to the dentist," and you know, all this sort of stuff. So, no. He says, "Okay, in that case, here's the solution." So then from behind them came Adi Jinnah and Adi Buddha. You know? And so then they came out, and then they walked down to where the demons were. And so then Adi Jain was doubt, skepticism. Says, "Okay, why you know, you're studying? Why are you doing this? You know? Oh, because of this. But maybe it's that, maybe it's not." So I think it's called Syadvad. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. So they just spend all their time like that. You know, like Krishna's with angels can dance on the head of a pin. So these guys says, "Maybe it is, maybe it's not." That's what they do. You know, Buddhists, you know, if the tree falls over and no one hears it, it is actually upset. You know, like, so they all get these. And then Buddha, he went in and then, you know, discussed his, got them to stop the yajnas. You know, and so between the two of them, they completely messed it up, and so they stopped doing that, so they lost their power, and then the demigods came back. But at the same time, as you've introduced these two bogus philosophies. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, yeah. So, demigods tend to be the source of these, some of these, you know, the original bogus stuff. All in the name of, you know, solving the problem. Yeah. So, the skepticism actually comes up. So, how can you trust, you know, leadership? How can you this, that? But they don't have a philosophy. There's no Siddhanta. So, okay, so then what's your alternative? What should we do? "Oh, but you know, you can't depend on others and this." Okay, so what should we do? "You know, it means it's about ourselves and what we feel." Okay, what should we do? I have nothing.
Go back to the material.
Yeah, so basically all it means is you throw that out so I can just be independent and do what I want, like that. But you can't say that. You can't say, "I'm independent, I can't follow authority, I have no ability to follow authority, I don't want to follow authority, I want to do my own thing, so I'm totally on the platform, anamoy, but I don't want it to look like that, so I'm going to throw in a little pranamoy just to make it look like it, but I'm a devotee, so naturally now I'm religious and all that, and I'm spiritual," and so that's what's going on. But they won't even say that. You know, because like, Jaimini's, we're into karma, we want to enjoy, we want to like this, and so this is how you do it. You know, they try to establish that they're enjoying is superior to other things, but at least they're talking what they do. But here it's no. They just want to, they won't talk what they want because it's embarrassing, because then they're just saying they're like animals. That's all. You know?
I mean, it's an interesting example of how Stalin dealt with that kind of stuff.
Huh.
He said, "You're criticizing? Very nice. Okay, what's your solution? Offer a solution." Then whoever's there, you know, had to offer a solution. okay, wonderful solution, now go and execute it, and then after some time, bring us result, no results.
So don't talk unless you can see
you're ready to go through the whole stages.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like actually doing
it. I say execute and execution. So these are the two things.
You can't execute.
Yeah.
Execute.
It's all the options you have.
Yeah, yeah.
Execute or execution. Yeah.
Then you put your effort there too.
Yeah, yeah. It's to put your money where your mouth is. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so it's
because nowadays everybody's just talking internet, this, that, okay.
Because there's no responsibility.
Absolutely.
Mana mentions that you're going to say, means you say this guy did wrong. That's fine. You know? But if you've just said that and he hasn't done something wrong, then you get punished. Mm-hmm. You know, it may not be that. There is a punishment for it, but it doesn't need. But the point is this whole thing where everybody has the right to say anything, that's not human. You know, that's like the dogs, right? The dogs are there. This is my property. Who said? Where's the deed? Where's the paper? You know, my teeth with the paper. You know, so, you know, like this, and so on. But you said, that's the thing. So it's not even within logic. It's a branch of Gyan. Mm-hmm. That you have faith, and then when it doesn't work, then you lose faith. But they have faith and there are no faith. They have faith, you know, that this, by saying that, you accomplish something. Aren't I thoughtful? Aren't I? No. Well, you're just skeptical. Anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing great. But it's presented as if they're being very logical and very philosophical and all. When it's not even within logic. It's not even within a padartha. It's just a bogus philosophy. It's just within speculation. It's the speculation of those who want to be freed from material anxiety without accepting any authority. So in other words, I'm going to get liberated on my own, by my own feeling. Rather than, no, I'm going to get liberated by giving up this and attaining Brahman. So I'm not sure what you're going to get. He's liberated a rock, maybe? You know, because there's not a whole lot going on there.
Yeah. Therefore, dome of rock.
Yeah. Sorry?
Dome of rock.
Yeah, like that. That means the rock's not doing anything. What's happening on top of it is a lot's going on. No?
Yeah. It's also in our own teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he played with Nyaya perfectly as a Supreme Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he completely gave it up because nobody...
You can't get anything.
Defeated. But he was using, like Prabhu was mentioned, he was using pramana, like proper pramana and everything. But still, he moved on. And then he harassed the devotees, and they had no answers, but their face still was fixed on the Lord.
Yes, yes.
So they were praying and this and that. So that lila shows us that the logic, it's not all in all. It's just...
Yes, yes, yes.
In that, the detail when I was reading, that after he got initiated and... Then when he came, he was still teaching logic.
Yeah.
But then he was using all direct Krishna conscious things that was not appreciated by the students.
Mm-hmm.
What are you teaching? This is not logic. Then he closed the school. Basically, if the disciples were qualified, he would still explain the whole Krishna conscious through whatever he is teaching.
Yeah.
But because the disciples didn't appreciate, then he just closed, okay, you do your thing and I'll do my thing.
Yeah, everyone had Harinyaya and Yakara. Because it is said that he had a system like that, but it was lost.
Mm.
And so Harinamrita was based on that kind of how he did his grammar. Yeah, so the idea of this is to know what is logic and what's not. And therefore, and then what is logic, how to use it. So it's not that you have to be a scholar to use this. You have to be a devotee to use this. That's the whole thing of the Chaitanya Upanayana. This is the essence of what it is. This can be used by any devotee to their capacity. Like you'll see in here when we go through, there's technical terms for everything. They divide up, you know, it's like you have this, but then we're saying you're skeptical. But probably within that, then there's this kind of skeptical, that kind of skeptical, this one has this branch, that one. So it has that much detail. But if not, you just know that's being skeptical and that's not actually, and you can use it. You can argue against it. So as we go, then you'll see is that this may be the death of the Russian questions.
Oh, major.
They're eternal. Okay. True.
I mean, I was contemplating on that and hearing, you know, naturally a lot of classes and this and that. So, like, you were explaining that there's a doubt and there's a... What's the name for the... There's doubt and there's...
Misgiving.
So... In one class, I actually connected the things, is that the doubt, because there's intelligence, there's mind,
right.
And there's ego.
Right.
Ego means your identity.
Yes.
Intelligence, it's a tool.
Yes.
And the mind is in between.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's subtle, but so the doubt actually lies in the sphere of intelligence.
Yes,
but
yes.
The misgiving is a matter of ego.
Ego,
because it's an identity.
Yeah.
So this, it's like, and then Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he explains that to give up intelligence. I mean, many people already gave it up. Never had it given in the beginning. So he said it's you know fairly easy. Then mind. You have to really work on it, like Bhagavad Gita teachings, and because it's a nature of the mind, basically. But then the ego and identity, to reestablish that for Krishna's servant, that's the real thing. That's why people hold on misgivings. And through this process, which is highly intellectual process, you can't deal with that. Because, like... She was saying it will just continue because it's an identity. It's not a logical thing.
Yeah. But at least you can see what's going on and won't get caught up. So as soon as you see that, you pull back. Just like if you're going to go into one area and you see that's going to create that, then you go back and try another angle. You try to find, in other words, the point you try to make it from an angle that will have doubt and not from misgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you say it here, you know, you find what words in that will work.
Yeah,
and then you bring it across. Yes.
Also, I have observed that those who have the right attitude among the seekers, this kind of approach will help them to get out of their misgivings also.
Mm.
Like there are students who just call me up sometimes and then immediately they say, oh, so many years we had questions and then when we just talk now it's so clear. And what we are doing is just presenting it in a very systematic manner, which, and then they are all like very senior people also. They have this question lingering for 25 years.
Yeah.
So it really helps.
Yeah.
So it's good. So that, my point is one doesn't have to be afraid of this. It's as we go into it, it may seem, but as you go through, you start to see is no, this is stuff that is practical you can use. You maybe thought of this, observed it, but didn't necessarily put it together in a structured system. That's all. It's just making something unstructured structured. Like that. Are we good? Okay. Okay. So Manu 743 states. Okay. Pravidye Vyashtrayim Vidyam Dandani Tim Chashashvatim Anvikshikim Chatma Vidyam Varta Vartaram Bhamscha Lokataha. From those persons learned in the scriptures, as well as from those experienced in the field, he, the king, shall learn the three Vedas, the ancient science of government, the science of the soul, along with the science of reasoning and the art of commerce. Commentary by Medititi. So Medititi is one of the major commentators on Manu. It's like he's the commentator that everybody accepts the main entity. Anvikshiki and Atma Vidya may be seen conjointly, the meaning being one needs to learn that science of reasoning which enhances one's understanding of the science of the self, as only such an understanding can be useful in subjugating evil habits, misfortunes, and mental disturbances. You know, we were talking there, you know, the misgivings and doubts and misgivings. As for the science of reasoning propounded by the Buddhists, the Charvaks, and other atheists, they cannot be of much use to him. On the contrary, they are likely to shake his faith. Right? So in other words, use that these other systems of logic, or even some of these modern systems of logic, because they're not theistic, then they can shake faith, because the ultimate goal of all that logic most likely will be skepticism. Because that's as far as they can take it. The Vedic, you want to take it through to bhakti. So then, the science of the soul seen with reasoning. So that's the science of, so it says, the science of the soul along with the science of reasoning. So that means Atma Vidya with the logic. That's Anvikshiki. So in other words, they're supposed to learn governance, Anvikshiki, and commerce. Because if they know that, because without money you can't run the country, you have to know how it works. You know, otherwise the typical thing, the president is, okay, you're setting up a business, you're supposed to give 50% of gross to us. You're not going to go, one, no one's going to make profit, two, no one's going to work with you. So you have to know how commerce works. Otherwise, how do you deal? And you also have to know how to deal with the money once you get it, how to improve it, how to, you know, it's like Manu says, first you get the money, then you improve it. You know, then once it's improved, now you do something with it and give them charity. Right, you know, so because otherwise, I got 10 rupees. I give 10. You know, take 10 rupees, make it 100. Now you can start doing things, giving charity, and still have some capital. You know, it's like that. You know, so it's practical. So the government, like that, and they have to know the ancient science of what do you call it? What do you say? Ancient science of government, because it's eternal. So you don't have to make up something new. Like before, using corporate management to as governance. That's not going to work. You know, the corporate is for making money. The governance is for, you know, that's already there. And then you should know the philosophy and the logic so that you don't, it's not sentimental. You just know logic, it'll be speculative. You just know, the science of the soul or even there, just philosophy, then you might be, I mean, the religious stuff, you may be sentimental, so you have to put the two together. That's the yours. No? Yes. Okay.
Yes, I want to ask about age. In which age did Meditati?
Meditati. You know Meditati?
I think 4th or 5th century. That's what I remember.
4th or 5th century.
Yes. Did you mention the idea that this is?
Yes. Yes.
And
yeah.
Also, all these are given by the modern people.
Yeah, there may be older things that, you know, you don't hear about. These are ones that academics use and like this and that. So, you know, and, you know, much people, they use them themselves. But, you know, we take from it what works. You know, in other words, much of the time these guys would just explain it so that you understand what was said. They don't give their own opinion. So that's what's nice about when you go way back with the commentators. They just make it clear. They say a complicated thing, seemingly in a simpler way. But the modern ones that we're talking about, you know, he was mentioning that before, they put in their own philosophy in that. That's bogus. So that's why, you know, we just know what's there.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada.